Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info.
Now let's get this show started.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Slifka. Today we got a special guest, Cody Henley. Let's bring him on in. How you doing today, man?
Pretty good, man. How are you? Yeah.
Doing great, doing great. I got a tournament this upcoming weekend. So yeah, kind of getting prepared for
this weekend?
Geneva Lake. It's for the local club. But cool. Geneva Lake, Wisconsin, but the weather is looking kind of nasty. So it's going to be a fun one, man. Just to get started, just kind of for people who don't know you already, you just kind of want to give a background on yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been tournament fishing for my first ever tournament was in 2019. And that was just a local trail. I stayed in that local trail that year. I actually didn't sign up to be a member. I didn't know all the details of what I needed to do. So I couldn't fish their state championship. So I was kind of bummed about that. But the next year I signed up, I became a member. And the next 2 years, I won Angler of the Year. That was 2020 and 2021. And then at the end of 2021, I decided to go a little bit. I started to hear about the national scene. I went and fished a couple KBF trails. Well, I actually fished just one in Clear Lake. And there was a triple event there because the West Coast didn't get a lot of attention. So I actually took a first, a fourth, and a ninth. And that was enough to put me in, like, I think, I want to say, like, 37th. At one point, I was in 17th, but I dropped down to 37th, I think, after Kentucky Lake. There was a few other tournaments going on. And going into the national championship, I was sitting in 37th. And I guess I did decent enough there to make it to the DZ top 10. And, that's what I've been doing ever since, man.
Nice, nice. That's good, man. So today I wanted to bring you on. Well, I've been watching a lot of your YouTube stuff. And I just wanted to bring you on to kind of talk about the mindset and what goes through your mind as you're fishing these tournaments. Obviously, you've had some success. We've had a lot of success recently, but you said you kind of had a rough tournament this past weekend. So did you want to kind of go into what your mindset was going into that tournament?
Yeah, absolutely, dude. So, I mean, mindset going into Broken Bow, I know I was only fishing three Hobie events. I fished the Toledo Bend. I took second in it. And I knew I had Broken Bow, and I was looking at Lake Dardanelle. And I'm like, okay, what do I need to do? So I'd been studying that map on Google Maps, going back all the way from 1984 to 2021, every single year, and looking at the lake being drawn down, drawn up, just so many different things. And with it being a clear lake fishery, that's all there is in Utah. So I was like, okay, I like dirty water personally. So my goal was to go up river.
and test that out up there. Well, as soon as I got on the main lake, it was like 75 degrees, 80, about 82 by the end of the day. So I knew everything was postponed. The river would be even worse because typically for me, the river warms up quicker in some areas and sometimes not. So the way that I looked at it was, okay, I'll just go. Well, when I went to the main lake, I found a really good bite, which every single body did. It was every single fish was 16, 17, 18 inches. You just had to cut through so many fish. The first 2 days, I caught everything on a buzz bait. And going into the tournament, I planned to throw a good bit of top water. And I just couldn't put the buzz bait down, man. And it messed me up. I'm not going to lie. It really messed me up. I think that tournament preparation kind of goes into that, you know, preparing like, okay, I'm going to throw this. And I did a terrible job, you know, preparing myself going into this tournament because that bite held up for 2-3 days. But as soon as tournament day hit, they shut the water down on the dam. They shut everything down. There's no more current. There's no more nothing. And that bite completely changed. And going back to the mindset of preparing for a tournament, I did not do the things that I should have done. And I will say, like, I found a little river system coming into the lake. And all my other stuff was like 8 miles on the other side of the lake. But this one area, I found this one cove and these one set of trees that were sitting in like 5-6 feet of water. Well, I found the biggest bass I've ever seen in my life. And people probably won't believe me, but easily 26 inches. Like I tried to get a board that was 30 because I knew that it was bigger than my board. And she was guarding fry. I say she, it was very weird that it was a female guarding fry, but there were fry behind her. And she stayed there for 2.5-3 days. And to the right of her was another 20-something, and then there was 2 18s on the other side. Everywhere else on the lake was 82 degrees by the end of the day. By the end of the day, in that cove up that creek bend was around 72. So I think it was like really like, obviously there's different stages across the whole lake, you know?
Yeah.
And there's different stages of spawners. But I was like, I have found something special. And I sat there and guarded it for 2 days. So instead of me going... And what I should have done, I should have went and searched the rest of the lake or at least found something nearby. But I was just so scared that someone else was going to stumble upon it because it was literally so clear. It was hard not to see her. And I threw a buzzbait into her the first time and she came up and just slammed it. And I dude, it was so hard. I clicked my button and let her spool me and she took off with it and she finally spit it. I'm like, it hurts so bad, but... I mean, that's tournament fishing, man. Yeah. I was like, I got to save her. I got to save her.
Yeah. So you're saying you should have kind of spread out and kind of looked for more areas versus just holding on to. Did you end up catching that fish during tournament day?
No. The water dropped, and by the time that I was there during tournament morning, where they were, it was out of water. The water dropped 6 feet from the moment I found her until tournament day. But I still thought she would have been there, just pulled off a little bit. Yeah. But she wasn't, man. I spent 5-6 hours fan casting Saturday morning. And finally, after only catching a few cookie cutters in there, I'm like, I got to see if she's even still here. And I zoomed past her and just kind of stood up. And she wasn't there. None of them were there. Not a single one of those big fish that I'd found were there. I'm like, so then I started fishing the drop off right there. And I caught quite a few smallmouth, but none of those largies that I was looking for.
So you went into it expecting those fish and only those fish and then kind of got screwed by the conditions.
Yep. So my plan was to fish there day one and have an epic day. I was hoping for at least 95 inches.
Yeah.
And I was going to go launch at the other side of the lake the next day and run up their lake a pretty good ways. But when that threw me off, I'm like, oh man, what do I do now? So yeah, it would just, and that's fishing, man. I mean, you obviously can't win them all, but I got smacked this weekend. Yeah.
So did you kind of scramble on day one for, or you just stayed in that area and kind of got what you got?
I would say I scrambled if we're being honest, because that's the only thing that I had was that cove. So I started to expand on that. And there was literally like two kayaks over there that I crossed paths with. On the other side, it was bombarded. And that was close to where it was. One was on the other side. So I think it was really just a mind game, to be honest with you, man. I'm like, there's no one here. Like, why? What am I? I need to slow down. What I didn't have. Where I was fishing, there was no jerkbait bite. But on the other side, there was. And I zoomed over there. I didn't even bring my jerkbait rod with me on day one. I didn't bring any jerkbaits, any anything. I'm like, ah, oh, dude. And I just straight up screwed myself, if we're being 100% honest, man. But, I mean, day two came around. I just said, hey, I'm going to fish, and hopefully I'll come across something cool. And I literally launched at the ramp and went maybe 20 yards and started fishing, you know. And day two went really well. I say it went well. I was more relaxed. I was chilled out. And I found this underwater island, and I was throwing a wacky Cinco. And, man, I pulled up 30 fish and finally started getting some upgrades. Hooked up to two studs, and I couldn't get my drag loosened up quick enough. And they just started spooling me, and it just spit it out. I caught like a 37-inch drum. So, yeah, the wind picked up, and that wacky rig bite kind of was hard. I started dragging a jig on that point. On that point of the underwater island, and the wind was just too bad, man. And I don't know if I just got lazy, like, hey, I'm kind of out of it. I got a 22-hour drive home. Let's just start getting it wrapped up. So I think I put up 79 inches on day one and 78 on day two.
Yeah.
So not good enough to win.
No.
Yeah.
And I think when I looked, it was like 60th place, I think. But that's still still good.
Yeah, still, I can't complain.
Considering there was 175, 76 people out there, man.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So yeah, man, it was close. It was super close. Like, I was at pretty much 80 inches on day one, and then the first place was had 88, and I was in 75th place.
Gee.
For me to jump to 10th place, I needed 2 inches. That's so, yeah, crazy. It was so close. It was definitely anyone's game. But I will say those people that were in first day on day one, they had everything locked in, man, because they jumped right back up there on day two. They found a really good bite, you know, so hats off to them because they did a phenomenal job.
You think it screwed a lot of people over when they dropped the water?
Oh, absolutely, man.
Yeah.
I talked to like four of my buddies up there, and they're like, the bite's just not here. It's like, what? There's no top water bite. There's nothing. I mean, we had to resort to a wacky Cinco for me, you know? I mean, I saw quite a bit of people throwing a wacky Cinco, you know? And I think you talk about tournament preparation and the mindset. You've got to adjust on the fly. You know, okay, they're not hitting a jig. They're not doing this. Like, what are we doing right now? They're not doing anything reaction. Okay, a shaky head or a wacky rig. Let's try it, you know. So, I mean, I didn't even have one of them tied on day one. I don't even think I brought a spinning rod with me. So, yeah, it was a big adjustment for me on day two. And
yeah, but, I mean, you still left with, I mean, top of the pack. Not really, but above middle of the pack, just above it, you know. At least, does that count for AOY points?
It does. At I least? Get like 39 points for Angler of the Year points. And I have 99 from the first one and then 39 from this one. So I need to do good on the next one if I want to at least have a chance at going into the TOC, because I've qualified for the Tournament of Champions and I will definitely be there. I really wanted to go for Angler of the Year in that series, you know. Obviously, my number one goal was to make the 10 house again. That was an epic, experience for me. And obviously the first time I've ever been there, and I don't want to ever miss it for the rest of my life, but until I stop fishing professionally forever. But I say that I'm not there 80 years old trying to make the 10, but
hey, Rick Clun's still trying to make classics, man.
Right, man. That's right. So yeah, I mean, I really was hoping for a better, but hey man, I can't complain. You know, the year has been the greatest year obviously for me ever. So
how was the 10 house then? We could talk about that a little bit.
It was awesome. Absolutely amazing. I words can't even express.
What all goes into that then for people who don't know?
So what do you mean? Like, how do you get there? What's your
goal? How do you get there? And then what was your personal goal going into it?
So going to get into the 10 house, you take your top three tournament fishes from the KBF trails throughout the year. And those are single day events. And they're usually two at each trail locations. So we have one coming up in Utah. There'll be one on Saturday and one on Sunday. So let's say you take two first there. You have two first place going into it. That's 600 points at each event. So that's 1,200. And then let's say you have another. So right now I have a first, a third is what I have. So I think I'm sitting in second overall. Josh Stewart is beating me right now by 6 points because he has a first, and a second. And I have a first, and a third. So then when you go to the national championships, they'll take those points that you have, and then it's points and a half when you get there. So it's really, I don't want to say it's anyone's game because you still need to be at least in the top 50 or somewhere around there. And however you do in the first 2 days of the national championship, which is the Trail Series Championship, they take that and add them together with what could be your perfect score of 1,800 points going into it of three first place finishes. And obviously, whoever is in the top 10 of all however many people, you know, I think it's last year it was close to like, I think 800 to 1,000, maybe more. I really and truly don't know exactly the numbers. But going in, whenever I took 15th in the Trail Series Championship, and that was enough with my 39th place to put me in, literally barely squeaked by in 10th place. I think me and Casey Reed were like half a point off. Jeez. So obviously that's at the end of the year. Then the 10 starts the next year at the next Trail Series event.
That's the Florida event, right?
Yep, that was Florida this year. Correct. That was the Kissimmee event. I don't know if it's going to be that next year. I think Chad's got something up his sleeve. But, man, the 10 was – there's so much that goes into it. There were so many interviews that we did. There are so many – like media days, like it was a blast, man.
Is this similar to what you see at a classic, kind of, with all the media and everything?
I would say close. Like for the kayak fishing, like it's a little bit smaller than the classic, multi-billion-dollar organization.
Yeah,
but when you walk in, every single room from all the sponsors from kayak bass fishing, you walk into like almost $5,000 worth of gear, $3,000 to $5,000 worth of just free stuff sitting on your bed. You know, they pay you, they give you $1,000 before you come for travel expenses. And obviously Chad's goal is immediately when you make it into the 10. So you made the top 10. I mean, let's just say, Chris, if you make the top 10 in 4 to 5 years from now, you will automatically get a $10,000 check going into the 10 house because you made the top 10. And then instead of fishing for $10,000, we'll be fishing for $50,000 or $100,000. You know, since it's just, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's eyes, it's the most sought after position in the kayak industry. You know, like that's literally what everyone talks about and their goal is on the KBF side. So obviously we're trying to get that up a little bit higher, but that takes a lot of work too.
Oh, yeah. It does. So going into that event, how did you feel? Did you feel kind of overwhelmed or just ready for the event to start?
I was just excited, man. There was so much preparation. That was a little bit more challenging because there was like 9 bodies of water that we could fish, you know, and then Chad threw in another lake that we couldn't pre-fish, but one day before the 10. So there was just so much going into it. I actually didn't even go test out the new lake. I just stayed on the little sleeper lake that I was on. And yeah, man, it was, I would say, a little bit overwhelming, but man, there was so much preparation. I watched every video you can think of on every single lake down there. I read every article, everything, because obviously Florida strand bass are completely different than northern strand bass. And I grew up in Mississippi, so that's more my style of fishing, you know, that dirty water, that tannic water. So, man, it was nerve-wracking. But after you slowly started to figure things out, like, it was a blast. It was super awesome to have the trail events first, because then you, like, because this is still a practice day. We can do whatever we want, you know. Day one, I completely blew the trail, you know, and I think I took 14th. I had like maybe 80 inches. But day two, I had the biggest bag of both days. I had 98 inches. And that was enough to jump me on the Pro Series and the 10 Invitational. So I took second in the Pro Series and the 10 Invitational and then won the last day. So after that, I was like, oh, man, do I stay on this lake? Can it hold off one more day? Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. And it did, man. It did. It held off. I put up 90 inches both days on the 10. I think I had closer to like right at 180. So, yeah, man, it was epic.
Nice. So, yeah, so then, so where am I trying to go with this? So what place did you end up?
On the 10?
Yeah.
I won the 10.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's because I didn't get a chance to even look back on that thing.
No, you're good.
I looked at the trail series.
Yeah.
For that event, because I had Brian, who owns Paddle and Finn, was fishing it.
But yep, he was down there.
He had a horrible tournament, though.
Man, it wasn't easy fishing.
That's what they said. They said because of the cold front.
Yeah, I went to the big lakes, and I couldn't catch a fish to save my life. Like, it'd be one fish in every 6 hours. That one fish would be 22 inches. But, I mean, if you can't catch a limit, man, that fish is pointless.
Yeah.
And then after the 10, we went – I had a Bassmaster, and we kind of blew that one too, man. That cold front came through, put ice on the water that morning. And instead of pre-fishing on Friday, I went and surprised my mom in Mississippi. So that was my fault. For me and my buddy not going to practice and going to see family, but family should always come first. And then we had the Hobie BOS Toledo Bend, and me and him were on the road for 27 days. So that was a long trip on the road.
Yeah, it's dedication, man. That's for sure.
That's right.
I mean, that's what you hear with every single from top to bottom. It's, you're on the road a lot. It's a lot of dedication to the craft.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the
sky. That's right.
But we're about 21 minutes. I normally do about 25, 30-minute shows here just to keep it short, and it comes out on a Sunday, so most people are fishing.
Yeah.
But is there any sponsors or anything you want to throw out?
Yeah. Yep. I better read them because I got a terrible memory. Yo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do the same thing when I make an Instagram post, and I only have like four or five of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's challenging. No, I literally all the stuff that I do, like I couldn't do it without any of them.
Oh yeah.
You know, 100%. My number one is Yak Rods. They literally have done so much for me. And no questions asked. They're the best rod on the market. Like, they literally are designed for kayak anglers. and kayak anglers are building them. So, you know, there's a lot of work going into the rods to make them perfect for us, to make the butts a little bit shorter where they're not hitting on our life jacket or our chest. There's so many things that they have done for me. So they've played a huge role in all that I've done. Yak Attack. There we go. I just joined the Yak Attack team this year, and I've been using their stuff for years. I mean, from day
we
one,
all do.
Pretty much everyone does. So I'm super excited to be on their team too this year, man. I was stoked about that. Kayak cushion, the most comfortable thing you'll ever sit on in your life, period. I literally can't leave the house without my kayak cushion. I cannot sit without that thing in my chair. So it's super awesome. I got P-Line, Battle Baits, Rogue Fishing, Newport Vessels. The Newport NK-180 is, oh man, that thing is a beast.
Yep. I plan on getting one then.
And you cannot break that thing. It's impossible.
I plan to have one by the end of the year.
Nice. One of those things, man. Nice. Just joined with one objective as well. And going off of that, the battery company I'm with, the Lithium Batteries, they just went through a rebranding, and they are called Z Pro Lithium. Nice. So they just launched last night. I mean, they've been up for a long time though. They used to be called Amposure, and they've just rebranded to Z Pro Lithium. And man, they're so nice. A 24 volt system, 50 amp hour, weighs like 20 pounds.
Yeah.
So it's super hard to beat.
How long does that last with the Newport? If you're
The Newport, so full throttle, somewhere 15 to 20 miles.
Okay.
And then half throttle. Oh, dude, you could probably go 40 miles. Hmm. 20% throttle, jeez, you can go 75.
Jeez, yeah. That's,
but at half throttle, it still runs you at 4 miles per hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
But I don't go anywhere half throttle, man. I'm just ramming that thing.
Yeah. I mean, I have right now just a regular 55 thrust motor on it.
Yeah.
I'm on my kayak. And I mean, I mainly use it. I'll put it at like 10%, 10-15%, and still just stand up and fish and just kind of use the hand steering.
Yeah,
instead of getting one.
I use my feet steering though. I stand up and then I'll push my feet pedals back and forth. So it's super nice, man.
It's a lot better when you can move around while you're standing fishing than sitting there.
That's right.
Is there any other ones that you don't want you to forget anymore, man?
That is it.
All right. How can people follow you?
Instagram is Cody Henley, I think. I'm pretty sure Cody Henley.
Yeah.
And Facebook is Cody Henley, and YouTube's Cody Henley. I just started a YouTube channel. So
yeah, he's been doing pretty good on it, man. That's how I found
YouTube channel. I'm trying. It's hard, dude. I'm not gonna act like it's not hard. No, it's a lot of work putting in those videos.
Yeah.
I see why so many people start and they're like, no, never mind. I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, it pays off in the long run.
Yeah, it definitely will. It definitely will. So I'm excited to be in the long run.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Yeah. I appreciate you joining me, and have a good day, man.
Hey, absolutely, man. See you, dude.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. you can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional, for all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.
One of the most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.